All right, let's call our meeting to order. Roll call.
Murphy?
Here.
Beppo?
Here.
Harry?
Yes.
King? Robbins?
Here.
Stuber?
Here.
All right, let's join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And please remain standing if you so choose as we pray. Lord, we thank you that today on October 20th, as we are coming so close to general election, Father, we just thank you for your wisdom tonight in our meeting and for each and every one of us as a community and as individuals to lean on your wisdom in how we use our right to vote. We thank you for that right. We appreciate it, and we do not take it for granted. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Marcus, do you have the public comment form there?
I do.
Would you like to talk?
Yes, please.
Come on.
I am Mary Ellen Walder. Where do I go?
Just right in the little opening right there, because there's a microphone right that'll pick you up when you're talking.
Oh, awesome. So my name is Mary Ellen Walder. I'm the executive director of the Champaign County. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Champaign County Forest Preserve District.
Okay.
We are sort of making the rounds of as many board meetings as we can to make sure that you're aware that the Forest Preserve District has put a referendum on the ballot, on the November ballot. We are asking for a very small increase in our limiting rate for the coming year and for the years going forward. The amount essentially is that we're asking for is about a penny and a half per $100 of assessed value. That would be the increase. To put it in terms that most people would understand, for the owner of a $100,000 home, the increase, if the referendum is approved, would be about $5.33. The funds would be used for the maintenance and upkeep of the facilities, the buildings, the infrastructure at our four forest preserves. We actually own six forest preserves, Lake of the Woods in Mahomet, which is our oldest, Homer Lake, Middle Fork River Forest Preserve, Sangamon River, River Bend, and we also own the Champaign County portion of the Kickapoo Rail Trail. These funds would be targeted for our oldest preserves, and again, for that infrastructure and building upkeep. We're not planning to build anything new and fancy. What we really just need to do is maintain, for example, the roof on the covered bridge at Lake of the Woods, Willow Pond at Middle Fork. We need to do improvements to the Interpretive Center at Homer Lake, and there's a variety of other road, bridge, dam projects throughout our preserves. So we're going around making sure what we don't want to have happen is for anybody to get into the polling place and not have an understanding, have had the opportunity to learn more about the referendum and to understand what it is that we're asking. So that's why we're coming to these meetings. I have some frequently asked questions that I will leave for you. So that, and this answers a lot of the questions that you probably have. So I'll leave some of these for you.
So do you know what we pay now?
The owner of that $100,000 home pays about $29 a year to the Forest Preserve.
Okay.
We currently get about less than 1% of your tax dollars. If you look at the back of this frequently asked questions here, this is what your property tax bill looks like in Champaign County. And you can see that little blue slice of the pie there at the top. That's what the Forest Preserve receives. Depending on where you live in Champaign County, we're either the smallest entity on your tax bill or the second smallest. I pay into a cemetery district, which is a little bit smaller than what the Forest Preserve gets, but otherwise the Forest Preserve is the smallest behind that on my tax bill. I know we've seen this year at the forest preserves, how just how important we have been to the residents of Champaign County. Our visitation has been up about 50% through sort of the worst part of the COVID pandemic early in the spring when the weather first started to change and get warm. People just crowded to the forest preserves because it gave people a place to go when their kids were home from school and they were sort of sheltering in place. But even in a regular year, we think we offer a tremendous asset to the residents of Champaign County. So again, we're not asking for very much. It's a small ask. It'll bring about $700,000 additional into the Forest Preserve budget each year, which will allow us to sort of chipping away, I guess, at that $3.7 million backlog of capital projects that we currently have. We started our board started thinking about this process about 3 years ago. Seriously, we've been talking about it since about 2008, which is when we last went to the voters and lost that election. We've been talking about it since that time. We've been really planning for it for about the last 2.5-3 years or so. Obviously, that was before COVID was on anyone's radar. So the board thought long and hard about whether, you know, is this a good time to still go? Should we pull this thing and go back again in 2 years? We decided to go ahead with it because it is such a small ask and because, quite honestly, we're getting to the point where these funds are urgently needed. If we don't do something about our financial picture, we're going to have to start closing down some of the facilities and some of those amenities that people have come to rely on. So I'm happy to answer any questions anybody might have.
I'm sure that one thing that some voters would ask, now I'm looking at the FAQs and I don't see anywhere in here where you say that this increase would go towards salaries.
Right.
But could you just speak to that for that voter that says, well, I shouldn't be paying extra for salaries or things like that.
Okay. The bulk of these funds are absolutely intended for capital projects. Now, I won't say that, you know, because once this increase goes into effect, this will be our new limiting rate for here forward. The intention is definitely for us to use this for capital improvements. Now, that is to say we may increase a couple of staff positions from like 3/4 time to full time, because you've got to have people to, as you guys know better than anyone, you've got to have people to carry out capital improvements. For example, our Homer Lake staff, we currently have 3 full-time guys that work at Homer Lake. When we added the Kickapoo Rail Trail, they are the ones that take care of the rail trail. We did not add any staffing to their operations department to maintain that trail, which was fine at first because the trail was only 6 miles long, but as we continued to build that, it's starting to become a burden on those guys. And they have a 3/4 time position that we've had a tough time filling. Some of that has to do with the fact that we're, you know, kind of remote and people don't want to have to drive and, you know, put wear and tear on their car, et cetera, for a part-time position. But so that's the kind of thing where I think it's time we're going to have to start looking at whether we increase that to a full-time position, which would come then with benefits and that sort of thing. So I'm not going to say that we would never consider an increase in operating, something like that.
Sure.
But, you know, clearly the bulk of this funding will be used for those capital projects. Good question. Other questions? All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate you giving me a little time on your agenda.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Ms. Wollner? Real quick, sorry.
Yes.
There's a website, I think it's like votechampaign.org or something like that, that lists all of the candidates and the referendum questions, but I don't remember seeing any information about the referendum question on that website. I have your email address. I'll email you the site and see if it's not on there.
Who runs that? Is it a county clerk website or?
It's hard to know.
Yeah, because if that's not on there, we need to make sure it gets on there.
Actually, when I pulled up the website, the first picture was of the Champaign City Building, but it has more than just Champaign folks on there, but it definitely has the ballot questions. It's votechampaign.org/guide.php, Champaign County. So there's no
Champaign County Voters Alliance.
They have put your they linked to your website.
Okay.
For the FAQs.
Awesome.
So it's there for people to see.
Okay. That's great. Thanks for letting me know that.
You're welcome. With your calculator.
That's nice, isn't it?
That's
nice
impressive.
Right. So water sewer project, I guess we can move on to engineering's reports. Ryan, do you have anything for that? Matt, do you have anything for the engineering stuff?
The only thing that I could talk about is I talked to the low bidder on the water main project from 2 years ago. He said that we may as well just go ahead and rebid that project, which would be phase 3 and 4 of our water main project, which would be Reynolds Street and Broadway. So we have that kind of in the works for the first part of 2021 with Donahue. And that should put us back construction around April to May if we get that bid in January, first part of February.
So if we wait, this is the email I sent you, if we wait on that and we can try to wrap that into the IDPA stuff too, but we'd have, that would be until, we push it back until July, right?
Right, and that may push us back where we wouldn't get construction done even possibly next year, or construction completed next year, possibly.
But it would also give us a little bit of payback on it too. We'd get a little bit of grant money back on it because we budgeted for it.
I don't know if that was included.
I don't think so. I think you're correct when you said you didn't think it was not
so
included.
I don't think that may have to be resubmitted to IEPA to see if we can get grant funds for that those two projects. Then the later we go into construction season, the higher the bids are going to be, because we've kind of ran into that before. Usually the earlier you get in construction season, that's when people are looking for work. They're going to bid more competitive. When you bid later in the year, that's when people already have their work. And if they don't need the work, they're going to bid higher. So
discussion on that? Push it out for bids?
I agree with, I think that's, we did not put that in that IEPA.
Yeah.
And then if we bid that in January, that still pushes back into 2021-2022 fiscal year, so we don't have to worry about spending money out of this year's budget on that. So that'll help us out a little bit more this year. So
thoughts?
Did we have that in our budget? I can't remember.
It's in the budget, yeah. We budgeted $220,000 for it. Now, granted, our budget's a little over, so And it doesn't look like we're gonna, even if we bid it tomorrow, it still probably will push it back into the next budget year almost.
Probably.
Because they won't be able to do it this winter.
They're not gonna start construction.
Yeah. So no matter what we do, we're pushing it to the next budget year. And if we bid it, say we do bid it in January, and we don't like the bids, then we could roll it into, try to roll it into that grant too.
I'd have to talk to Terry, see how much time we would need to do that, but yeah.
Well, when we talk to, I mean, we probably have to get something to him so we can get a bid document together by January. When's the last, he sent something out when he had to know by, and I can't remember now. Oh, here we go, mid-November. So if we make our decision at the next meeting, and then he can put the bid document together.
And again, it shouldn't be that big of a change because we've already bid this once. So it's just changing a little bit of stuff for that.
So and then if we push it back, we can do bids in mid-January. We do bids in November, bid opening in December, awards around December, January.
There were two
start description
time. Yeah,
March,
two separate
April.
Time tables.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thoughts on that?
It's something we need to do in the budget already.
We've been lucky. I don't think we've had a break there this year, but it's only a matter of time before we have another break there.
It hasn't been raining or cold yet. So.
Yeah. I know. Knock on wood.
Tomorrow.
Because how many breaks did you have last year on that? Not one. There's several. And then the year before that, you had a couple.
Can we add... Talk with Terry, maybe add getting rid of that 6-inch line by Little Buford's.
Oh, yeah.
And getting that tied into that 2-inch that's there, too. Where you fix that?
The 6-inch, yeah, that's the new line.
The 6-inch is new? Okay.
Yeah.
And get rid of the 2 so we don't have to worry about that anymore. Because it's going to be minimal, but we might as well add it in.
I don't know what all is on that line.
As soon as you shut it off, you'll find out.
I don't know how to shut it off. That's the thing.
So we need to add a shut off.
Possibly. So, because there's a valve out in Holden, but I don't know which one that's on. And I don't know if there's a valve on the 6-inch. Things are a little sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
There, so.
Well, that'd be a good time to unsketchy that.
Perfect. All right. So we'll work on getting bids together. All right. What else do you got for us since you're here?
The lift station on East and Walnut is now operational. They switched that over on a Saturday.
Did they get that change order too? We'll wait for a change order on that.
Okay. And seems like everything's working fine. I think the ammonia level's a little bit elevated in there right now. I think the water in there is setting a little too long, so we're going to have to adjust the floats a little bit. But beyond that, I don't think that's going to be a big issue. So we've been working with ERH on that, and Deuce, and the engineer. So we'll get that all squared away and get that problem resolved here coming up. So.
Perfect. There'll be a one little change order on that for a couple $100. They had to put an electrical panel in.
Well, yeah. I think... Ameren required a new meter socket on that. So.
I can't remember how much it was, but it wasn't going to be that much.
That jacking, I've only got one for sidewalk replacement. So I'm waiting, I've been waiting for one for quite a while. I had contacted another company last Friday, so they're working on a quote to get me one here hopefully soon. So the sidewalk replacement, we'll just kind of hold off on that for right now. The mud jacking quote was higher than I thought, or what it had been in the past. But I had a lot of spots to do. So we can do this one of two ways. We can either cut the amount back by half to try and get that within our budget, or we take this budget, depending on what our sidewalk replacement quotes are, and kind of switch money back and forth. It's still coming out of the same fund. It just, depending on how much I had appropriated for each project. So. But the three quotes I had for the mud jacking, there was Jack a Slab from out of Sullivan. They had a quote of $13,250. Illini Concrete Raising. I think these guys are actually local, but their address is out of Paris. They had $22,328. And Scritchlow Concrete Raising, they're out of Bloomington. And their price, which would be the same as these, how they're going to do it, is $24,078.82. And then they've also got a polyurethane foam price, and that's $29,670.16.
It's a kind of a, the one out of Sullivan is quite a bit lower.
Yeah.
Would it be worth the money to pay for the polyurethane in the long run?
I don't know. We've had good luck with the other. Just it's a limestone and concrete mix, and it seems to work just fine too. It's a bigger hole, but they have to drill the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
But it works just as well, I think. And I can't say that for sure because we haven't used the polyurethane foam. But for the $16,000 extra, I wouldn't do that. So.
Who did you know these people?
Another company out of Bloomington, and I wasn't real fond of how their stuff turned out the last time they did it.
Are some of the locations that we're needing to raise or mud jack, are some of those locations locations we've already done in the past due to tree roots and things like that?
Probably. I'd have to look back, but pretty much any spot you see yellow paint,
right,
that's what we're doing.
So I ask because I see one of those weekly, and I know we've done that one before. I don't know how many of these we could alleviate by getting rid of the trees that are causing the problem. So the one that...
Depends on which side of the sidewalk is on.
I know. This tree is on our side of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I, like you said, it would depend on where the trees are.
Right.
Or if that's the reason. But
might that be something worth looking at? I don't know if...
And some of those spots we have, I think there were maybe three or four pieces of sidewalk we had taken out.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, because there were trees that we had taken down last year, year before.
Sure.
And we had them ground down so that we could get rid of all those roots.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we put the sidewalk back, we're good to go.
Right.
So that's, we're trying to spend our money the best way we can.
Right.
Do we take out a bunch of trees?
Well, and that was the question. Is it cost prohibitive to do that for some of them? If there's not enough, then it wouldn't be feasible.
Yeah.
Because I mean, what's it going to take to cut down a tree versus fixing linear feet of sidewalk? Yeah, so I was just wondering if many of them were repeat offenders, because then that's the other thing we have to look at, is how many times have we gone back to the same spot?
I would say most of these aren't.
Okay.
A lot of these are in kind of northeast part of town. We haven't really hit that area that hard yet.
Okay.
We focused on the west side of town.
Mm-hmm.
And some side of town. Areas that have newer walks, trying to get those back in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
The high traffic areas of sidewalk use,
sure.
Try and get those areas. So those are the areas we try and hit first. These are kind of the other areas that we haven't touched a lot yet. And some of these we may have, but I don't think there's a lot on the west side that we're doing again. There's not much on the southwest or southeast side of town that we're doing again. A lot of the area is northeast side of town.
Okay.
I mean, 12 of these are in Kinderwood subdivision. Six are in Deer Path.
And we've hit that area pretty hard the last couple times. So.
Well, a lot of those are, they didn't compact well when they put in utilities and excavating equipment.
Well, that's what we're dealing with on some of on my street. Big chunks from construction and building, and now they're just becoming just little craters that are, you know, increased walking. So. I think they're getting more and more use now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had complaints about some of the trip hazards. So, I mean, I don't know.
There are a few spots on our street that I know are not patchable. So who would we need to contact to fix that?
Well, if they're within the right of way, that would be the village. We have, we would have to work with that.
Okay.
And I have.
Would that be a part of this then, or that be something else?
That's something else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what you did a great job, but there's some that there's no way that
right.
That would even work. Unfortunately, it's in the middle of the guy's driveway.
Right.
It's a pretty significant difference between Jack of Slab and...
And I think I had 6,500 or so in my budget for my jacking again this year. So, like I said, either we can... the mud jacking, hold off on the replacements for now, or just do a portion of the offset this price, you know, and it'd be $7,000 worth of sidewalk replacements, however that shakes out, so. And I'm not sure what their timeframe would be on this either, if they could get to this year or not, because we're kind of getting to the end of the season for this, so.
Thoughts?
I definitely think that we need to do some of them, like, now.
Well, the sad part about it is dumping a lot of money into the newer subdivisions, which sidewalks were cracked by the contractors building on the houses. And our older subdivisions have the same sidewalks they've had in them for 60, 70 years that are needing some, a little things done to. So it's that kind of, where's the level at? So now some of the sidewalks, you said you pulled some out to put in. So do we have areas that there's no sidewalk there at all?
Right, because we did that prior to having the tunnel ground out. So all we did, we went back in and we just added rock in there for right now.
Do you know how many places there are like that? Just give me a rough estimate. How many?
3, 4, 5.
Do you think if we did those and then did the mud jacking, we'd have enough in the budget for those two projects? Because I'd like to get replaced the ones that we pulled out.
I would hope we would. I don't know for a fact, but I would think we should.
Because that would be, and the mud jacking is nice because we're not replacing sidewalks and it's done now. I mean, once they come in and do it, it's done pretty quick. And then we can at least replace the missing sidewalks that are gone.
Yeah.
Since these are coming in a lot higher, we could also, next year, I know we'd have some engineering fees, but we could add some MFT. Because we're going to have a little...
A little extra?
No.
Did we ever get this?
We don't ever have extra, but...
Right.
We have some money there we could use.
That was an email.
That would be a small fraction of... like I said, we'd have some engineering fees, but that I think should be pretty minimum.
So that's an idea too.
I need to do, just keep it in mind, 900. We're going to do something up there from the end of where IDOT left off back towards DJ's building. Because that's terrible. If that gets huge amounts of truck traffic with the concrete plant up there. So that, I don't even know how that would hold up with the cold mix that we had this year because of the cost of truck traffic. It's not like you can just kind of, okay, this isn't harvest time, so we can do this, keep people off of it, the heavy truck traffic for right now.
So we'll just have to do what we did on our truck route on that side of town, because that was similar, but it was a heavier, wasn't as mushy.
Well, we may have to do a hot mix up there or something, because that cold mix, I really don't think that's going to hold up. It's just going to be a run.
Because it wasn't a hot mix that they put on a couple years ago for our truck route.
It was a different mix than what they used this
year. I wonder if we can get that same. I mean, it was expensive because I know we priced it to do some more of it, but I wonder if we can get that to price the 900.
It wasn't much more to do a hot mix.
Okay.
I don't think that it was that mix that we did 2 years ago.
Because that's holding up really, really good. So, want to move on the mud jacking? Do you want to
I would put a motion to improve the mudjacking.
You would what?
I would approve going with one of these estimates for.
Which one?
The lowest one was $13,250, and that was jack a slab.
You said you had $6,000 for mudjacking?
$6,500, I think I had estimated.
What did you have for, did we have some for sidewalk repair?
That's third.
What, replacing?
Yeah, I think I had $12,000 or $13,000 in there for that.
Let's go look. I say we do the mudjacking and then also put those sidewalks back in that we need to. I'm sure if you call Wick, he could probably do that.
I'm waiting off one of the quotes on them, so
right.
I've been in touch with them for probably over a month, just waiting on that.
And that's something like he could get to in December if we have a nice couple of days,
right.
All you need. So.
Who are you more comfortable with, Matt?
I feel pretty comfortable with all three of these companies. I didn't use the one that we used a couple times previous because I didn't think the last guy, I didn't like there as well. He didn't do near as good of a job. The first guy that came, I would have had him back every year. The other guy, he didn't really put the effort in, so we had some issues with some sidewalks. So that's why I switched companies. That's why they're a little bit higher priced. So. But I would feel comfortable with any three of these.
We'll have to, if we want to do both those projects, we're going to have to go with the lowest bidder, the $13,250. So then we have enough to put the sidewalks in. Because if we go with the higher bidder, then that pretty much takes everything and probably a little bit more than we have.
What's the other cost?
For the sidewalk replacement?
The.
Is that the Deuce one?
Albina 9 is 22,
one,
and then.
But that
no,
one
that's the mudjacking.
Oh.
Like I said, I've got two more quotes I'm waiting on. So.
I'll have those pulled up.
Okay.
One I've been waiting on for a while. The other one, like I said, I just contacted them Friday and gave them my numbers so we can see what they come back as.
So
then. Pull off for the next.
Do you have the Deuce one with you so that I can look at this and that? I don't want you to say it out loud, but can I look at it? I don't remember if you already said this one.
No, I didn't know this.
Okay, so here's what I'm looking at. If we look in your maintenance of streets, so far you've used this.
Right.
So that's your budget. That's how much is left.
Yep. But I'll still have cold mix over the winter to patch holes.
Mm-hmm. And all of this comes out of that same budget?
Yep.
So we can't do that,
yep.
Cold mix, and street, mudjacking,
right.
Unless the mudjacking is coming out
and
of the budget.
And again, we don't have to do all these replacements. We can adjust how many we have done
mm-hmm.
from that.
Right. Is there a chance you have the... Is there a chance you have all of the ones that need mud jacked in a severity scale?
There's no. I just made a list of what I seen whenever I did my list. So I was trying to get that done in like 2 days before I called these guys in to get
sure.
prices. So,
Ryan, what would you say? I mean, there's no way in his budget that we can do the sidewalk repair, the mud jacking, and still fill potholes.
I would say, I haven't really looked at these, but I'm going to assume the mud jackings are more of a trip hazard than the replacement. So I personally would say we do the mud jacking, replace the sidewalks that are missing currently.
Let me see what
and then,
those bits come out as.
Yeah.
We gotten good prices in the past from Erie Town, so maybe we can, you know, if that's...
And you have all your salt for the winter already purchased, correct?
It's purchased. We don't pay for that until they deliver.
Okay.
That came in this year, and it was just about half the price of what it was last year.
Nice.
So...
But what budget does that come out of?
That's probably out of streets and blocks as well.
Okay.
And that's $4,500, $5,000, somewhere in there.
Okay. So the number you saw, subtract that from there,
right,
and now you have less,
right,
than that single quote you showed me.
Yeah. Like I said, we'll see what those other prices come back as, and we kind of go from there.
Right.
And on a side note, what we can do too is in the future, if we add any more subdivisions, put some kind of clause in there that they have to fix the sidewalks.
Oh,
or
yeah, that's we've protect learned that. Because I think Kinderwood was the worst. I don't think Deer Path and Winstone and those they did as bad. They got them bad, and it's the trucks pulling over those sidewalks.
Mm-hmm. And it depends on
and
it,
and
what's
they,
underneath them.
If we would have caught it in the beginning, we could have caught it and then had to fix it after the, you know, part of building the house.
Now keep in mind, you are saying we. But none of the we in this room
but it's,
were involved in that.
I know, but it's the board as a general who should have caught it. But
I'm
it
just
is
saying
what
that
is.
So people don't yell at us like we made the mistake. We're going to fix it going forward.
But it's something I keep saying. I'm going to put a book together of all the things that you need to do when you're on the board.
They have those.
They have those. Yeah, they do. But we
boards
need one
make
for
them.
Just our...
I can give you an example.
All right. So, anything else, Matthew, while you're here?
Discussions on hiring additional full-time employee. I'd like to touch on that.
Shall we just let him speak?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Speak your case.
All right. Well, I wrote this up. I sent this to Ryan. Kind of just get his thoughts on this. So I'll just go ahead and read this. We're currently operating with two full-time employees, two part-time as of right now. They can be here most days. The additional part-time help are here either one day a week or during winter months only, because there's a few other people that have full-time jobs other places. Since Russ retired, the only workload that's been lifted from the maintenance department has been the utility locating, and that's that we hire out that from USIC. The meter reading fell on the remaining employees, which now we're doing that a lot easier. We have been operating without a third employee for 2 years, and with less part-time help, less day-to-day tasks can get done. We do current work orders to prioritize work to do several of the same jobs on the same day or consecutive days to make work more efficient. But there are days when emergencies pop up for water main breaks, the service line leaks that have to be dealt with, in most cases, immediately. Most water main or service line breaks, I like to have three employees there. So if there's someone that has to get in the trench, there's someone there to help to watch while they're in the church. Having them a full-time employee would allow us to clear up our backlog work orders as well as start on other items that we currently do not have time to start, including adjusting water meter pits up and down, checking all storm and sanitary manholes annually to assess condition, or the backup issues that have occurred. With me, as the other full-time employee, I have office tasks that need to be taken care of daily. I work on looking up parts for equipment, any water issues that occur in town, or talking with IEPA and building superintendent tasks that sometimes take up to an hour to find information. Having another employee, another full-time employee, would also give the maintenance department a person to run work with the part-time help in the summer, so I could have Mike and somebody else that could work with the high schoolers or whatever to, you know, you focus on this today, you focus on this today, to get some stuff knocked out better that way. They would also be able to patch streams, trim trees, fill holes, and read meters with the help of less skilled, with less skilled work, and not have as many questions to ask the less experienced part-time or so in the company. Please keep this item open for consideration in the future.
Questions?
I think probably the other thing.
Someone remind me.
Go ahead, Vicki.
Can someone remind me, this is or is not in the budget?
I believe it is in the budget.
It is. So the expense for the full-time and the benefits package are accounted for.
In the budget, that's over budget.
Yeah. And Matt, do you also see that on top of this full-timer, you will need more part-timers? Or are you looking to, are you saying my ideal structure is 3 full-time, 2 part-time?
I think I could fill a lot more of the day-to-day tasks with another just one full-time employee. I wouldn't need as much part-time help, especially in the winter. Summer, I'll still have mowing, trimming, trees to trim, streets to work on, stuff like that. So probably a couple additional in the summer. Fall, winter, not so much. And like I said, with another full-time employee, if they've got the skill set, then they can run work as well. Because they know if they know how to do, you know, clean sewers, they can do that. Or, you know, if I can send them out to patch streets, they know how to do that. So.
Yeah, that brings me to my last question about this. Do we need to, because you listed a lot of things. You and your team work on a lot of things. And does it help to, if you get this position approved, does it help to say, here's the job description for this position, and it's only some of those things, so we need this person to be an expert in fill in the gaps? I don't know if it's that simple, and it probably isn't, but I would just wonder if it's something to consider looking for the skills that we need versus someone who has a little bit of everything. Just a thought.
I think the easiest or best way to fill that, it's going to be hard to find somebody that's skilled in every aspect, but if we find somebody that's pretty mechanically inclined, then they can pretty much
learn the rest.
Right.
And what little things is, you know, here and there that they need to brush up on or learn on, then Matt or Mike or the other full-time can assist with that.
One thing we do need is someone who has their water certifications, because we're getting zinged again, having to send out stuff to them again. So that's what I really would like to get, of somebody with water certifications, or have you get your water certifications, because I mean, we're dealing with water all the time.
That's not a quick process.
No, I know. I wouldn't assume it would be. But it's something that I would kind of like to kind of look for, because it seems like we're dealing a lot with water lately.
And
it might help us with some engineering costs, too, if, like, the issues we're having with the dead ends, if we had our own guy that knew, you know, more about water and water issues, and I don't know, maybe that's a pipe dream, but that was a lot of engineering fees back and forth, all the emails and the visits, to just eventually, we, I think you even made the suggestion just to loop them. And it was a ton of discussion over, and then we ended up just doing the looping. So.
I think to find somebody with those aspects is probably going to put us over our budget to have that.
Probably a pipe dream.
Yeah.
So.
Because most of those are going to be highly skilled workers that are already specified.
Specialized.
Something else I'm posting to is for a building official. So I thought it was already posted. I just checked. It's not posted. So we've had one application come in for the position, and just through word of mouth, knowing that we're going to post it, so that'll take something off your plate a little bit, a tiny little sliver.
Yeah.
If we get that done, and that position, before Vicky jumps on me, is budgeted because we pay for them out of the fees for the permits. What I'd also like to do with that position, which we can adjust it, or maybe during the interview process we can bring it up to, is maybe give them the power to write ordinances for property stuff. But we'd have to put them on the payroll and pay them a little bit, like this is how you're paid for your permits. If you're doing ordinance stuff, you're paid for this. You can do 5 hours a week working on ordinance stuff for the properties. Or I don't know. There's some thought that I have to put into that. Mainly, I want to get the building official hired. That's my main goal. And I know the one person that's applied is actually, he actually has his building certifications for inspections and stuff. So it's probably the same person you're thinking of.
Oh, that's not actually what I was. You saw me thinking.
No,
that's not what
I
was thinking about.
We talked about before.
But I was the one thing I was thinking about was disagreeing with you on the idea of having the building official also write ordinance violations, because we've heard it before from certain residents that we are not the Tolono HOA.
True. But
and
my thought was the building inspector actually knows, like, the garage, the structure is unsafe.
Yes.
And that would be the perfect person to write that ordinance and to go testify in court for, not Justin. No offense, Justin.
None taken.
So, but that's my thought process behind that.
But wouldn't an engineer be the one to say that that's unsafe?
But
not
a
building
pay
inspector.
An engineer a couple hundred dollars an hour to come over here to
no.
do this and write an ordinance?
No, but we also at the same time shouldn't necessarily be putting that liability on someone that's not certified to actually say this is. A building inspector doesn't do the same thing as someone who's just writing, approving building permits. But we have to have a building code to have a building inspector, which then raises everybody's insurance.
True. Raises ours, it'll lower theirs.
I've heard the exact opposite.
Yeah. Should lower theirs, because I know we've had some people want on the building code want us to put in a building code on roofs.
Right.
Because right now the
yes.
sheeting isn't covered.
Right.
Like State Farm won't cover the
mm-hmm.
sheeting.
Because we have no building code.
Because we have no building code for it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then during that same meeting, I was told you actually don't want it because of, and thus, and thus. So it's something we can definitely, you know, talk
it's
about.
It's something to think about. The main thing is I want to get a building official
absolutely
hired, and that would take that off of Matt's plate. And we've talked about it like for 3 years now, and we still haven't done it. But it's ready to be posted, and I think the button just needs to be hit to post it, and I can't do that.
I've been asking for a full-time employee for a long time.
You have been asking for that too. Hey, we kept it in the budget this time around. It didn't get pulled out. But So that's kind of where we're at on those. Any other discussion? Anything else for us?
There are free water certification classes online, or there are ones that we can pay for as far as online.
There are what?
Free water certification classes through different American Water Works, and then there's ones that we could pay for somebody to go through.
Well, the certification, I would imagine, is going to cost.
Well, there's a 36-hour.
Sure, it's not like a continuing ed course?
Well, there's a one full-time certificate for 3 or 4 quarter hours for continuing education units, and then there's one for this first certification, which is $5,565.
Do what?
I'd have to work under a licensed person for that, because I can't just take a test and get it.
See, I would think that would be correct, yeah. And to get your license would probably be a lot.
Time and stuff like that, I guess. Because like I said, I would have to work under somebody that I can't say, oh, I know how to add chemicals to the water, because I know. So, I mean, that's stuff that has to be, it's a hands-on type course, or hands-on training.
So I don't know. That's something I think we need to look at a little bit and see where we can go on that.
So you're saying that there has to be a licensed water person for you to be certified under?
That I would have to learn from. If I were wanting to get licensed.
Okay, sir.
There's the class component, and then there's the real life practicum mm-hmm. component, and they have to have a certain amount of hours with the practicum, and they have to do that with somebody. Wouldn't have to necessarily be at our plant, but it would have to be somewhere at a plant where they're physically doing the work.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool. Well, it's something we can talk about and look at. Because the way of doing it now is not going to be able to do it forever.
Right.
So, and... All right, anything else? What we got you there? Anything else for Matt, what we got in here? We don't get him very often. Yes, Pam?
As a resident, do we still have the leaf sucker thing?
We
Are
do.
Are we using that?
We will be.
Okay. I didn't know where we were. I just put my leaves out.
There hasn't been a lot out yet, but there's getting more out. Thought about having it put online that we may do that next week.
Okay.
So we'll be able to put that on.
And I don't want to take anybody's time, but
this is your time.
This thing that you bought that burns stuff out there, I don't know what you're doing with all that stuff, but boy, you cleared out that. On the east side, I don't know where it goes, or is that through the burner?
Yeah.
And then what does it burn it?
Pile of ash. Burns it to nothing, pretty much, with minimal smoke. So.
And right now we're not burning because the fields are too dry, but as soon as all the windows get shut down and it gets cold again, then we'll burn some more.
I won't be here too much longer, but I'd be really interested to see how that works.
It's insane. It's kind of neat.
Well, I knew that this thing was sitting out there, and then all of a sudden, because it was getting kind of deep, and wow, they're doing something.
You can go out there and work with Woody a day when he's out there working. We can put you in the end loader. It'd be fun.
I wouldn't mind a bit.
We know that.
I know. Perfect. Well, there's your part-timer right there, Matt.
If you look up Air Burner, is the company in the trench burner. There's videos that will show you exactly how it works and the principle behind it. So.
Since we were on the topic of sidewalks, it's came up again at one of our meetings and several residents over in Kinderwood about sidewalk being put over across Rocket Road to the school. How you said before that was brought
That's okay. Rock Hill Road is not ours. That is the county's. So the we talked to the county. We were doing trying to put in for a grant for that, and we had different components of it. We had the county, we had the school, and we had us.
Right.
The grant got tabled because we didn't have a 100% commitment from the school on how much they were going to pay. And plus, we didn't know if we're going to get the grant anyway because we were really pushing the limits of getting all the paperwork in. So it was decided, let's wait until next year. The grant wasn't put out this year. So the engineering is still kind of in skeleton form. So if they do the grant next year, we can go with it, and then we can get firm commitments. But to answer your question about Rocket Road, that is the county. That's township. I'm sorry, not county, township. Township said they would pay for it if we got that grant, and they would pay for that portion of it. I think at the time it was like $3,200 for that sidewalk or something. I can't remember.
It wasn't much for their.
Yeah, it wasn't much at all for that like section to put it in there. It was like $3,200 or something, and the township said they would pay for it if we went for that grant. So that would have taken care of that portion, because we would have gone for the grant for a couple $100,000, and then they won't pay for engineering. So engineering was going to be about $50,000. So it would have been $50,000 out of the village's pocket, with the school district paying a portion of that, and then the township said, we'll just pay for the sidewalk that's in our area. So that would whittle away with that $50,000 engineering fees. Same thing as if we go with MFT to do the sidewalks, we'll end up with some engineering fees for sidewalks. So that's where we're at. We can readdress it with the township again, see if the township will pay for it, because it's not our property.
The problem is when kids are crossing over that from Campbell over, they're going through residential.
That's Elizabeth, Central.
Yeah. And they're crossing through residents' yards and stuff like that, and now there's an increased amount of walkers and traffic going over there. And the safety is the biggest issue. You know, they can all walk through the yard, but it's
The only problem I have with what was proposed is it calls it to go down Central to Rocket and then all the way back to junior high. Well, there's not a kid that's going to walk all the way down to Rocket Road. They're going to keep cutting through those residents where they do. In the winter, there's a path to tell exactly where they all walk.
No, yeah.
So if there's snow, so even if we put it in, they're not going to go down that sidewalk. So I think as far as location-wise and stuff, that needs to be looked at.
Well, and part of that was Kinderwood's property, too. Like, Kinderwood owns that little section that they're cutting through. It's not really residential. It's the Kinderwood's HOAs. So the HOA could put a sidewalk in.
What about, like a safety line? I mean, safety light or something like that for over there. Like, who's in charge of that kind of stuff?
It'd be us. I mean, would it be the HOA?
It's not our road?
Oh, you're talking about where they cross Central?
Yeah, just putting, you know, a yellow sign that's, you know, crossing or, you know, whatever.
Well, we could put a yellow sign up.
To let people know that, you know, kids are crossing.
But there's no sidewalks that really
that's true. Good point.
Hasn't made. But that's
true.
Crosswalk. If you don't have a sidewalk that cuts across there, I mean, it's kind of pointless because you're delineating the footpath across the road to the grass. So
it's just a concern.
That's true. And
because now there's a lot more school-age kids that are walking over there, and
you got a young neighborhood over there with a lot of young people.
And when we take our dogs for, people just they fly down that road. I mean, it's just they have no sense of anything out there when they're driving.
And we've set these guys out here. We've set county out there. It's the behavior, for the most part, when you're sitting there.
Unfortunately, we You could have six cops working and people are still gonna speed. I mean, it's just, we can't be everywhere, and even when we are there, people still speed. They don't care. I mean, I sat there today and very few people actually do the speed limit. Even when they drive by and see a squad car, they will still get over 30.
And that goes brings us into our next topic of lowering the speed limit through town. I mean, we're working on this study. And the thing about it is if the speed limit's 30, people are going to drive 35. If the speed limit's 25, people are going to drive 30. And then I was having a discussion earlier with...
What defines a school zone? Like, because when you start the school, is it the amount of feet that is in front of the school as far as a
They just put speed? That school zone in not too long ago, too.
Yeah, thank
Can you extend the I guess, to... Can you extend
the
school zone?
It looks to me like the one out of west is driveway to drive. Well, depends which way you're going.
Well, it'd go the length of school property at the very least.
But could we extend that around the curve?
We could reduce the speed on the curve. We've had enough accidents there.
Because if you make it a school zone and they are speeding in a school zone, it's a lot heftier of a fine, and licenses can be suspended and pulled that, you know, maybe the fear would make people slow down if it's actually in a school zone.
Well, last year we...
Because that goes from, what, $130 ticket, I guess? I mean, to $1,000.
A normal speeding ticket is $164.
Okay, so that's from $164
to
$1,500.
Goes up, but we don't... That's all county's jurisdiction.
We can enforce the school zone.
So when that goes from central to when does it stop being ours?
It stops
right
it.
Right before, well, where it, I mean, before
Campbell?
Pretty much where the asphalt
before you get
stops.
To
yeah. Where the asphalt
Basically.
Stops, where our jurisdiction stops.
Which we could pass an ordinance to lower the speed through that area. Like on the curve and around.
Miles an hour to the curve.
Yeah.
There was a 30 mile an hour speed limit before you got there. Took that one down, moved in as you're heading south on Central after the curve. Same way, we put the right-hand turn as you're heading back on Rock Road. That is a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit on that sign as well. So, and that's, that goes down to 20, I think. Is the,
yeah.
So.
We've done a lot there. I mean, Matt put up a lot of yellow signs. A lot of arrows.
I mean, if we could extend it as a school zone, and you know that increases the amount of price of a ticket.
I don't think we can extend the school zone.
I don't, because it's when during school times when kids are so close to cause danger when they're loading and unloading.
So that's from 6 a.m. to.
Well, it's different now because.
5.
Of the COVID.
Yeah.
Before it was like 7:30 to 3:30.
Yeah.
But with the times that are different.
Like 12:30 or something like that.
I just want to encourage people to slow down. And
it's never going to happen.
If you can figure that out, you'll have a
good luck.
Make some money. It's just like getting a stop at a stop sign.
President.
But we were talking that month. But we were talking about that earlier about. Having the same discussion, and there's other things we can do, which Justin's not going to like it, but we can actually start hammering people for driving this, turn into Homer, where you drive into Homer, you slow down, because the chief over there will pull you over. I mean, simple as that. I slow down when I go through Homer. Everybody does. It's like, as soon as you get Homer city limits, it's like all you see is brakes. And, But do you want that reputation where we're a speed trap and we're going to pull everybody over?
We were for years.
We were for years, and our officers really weren't doing
it. We were the license plate light town.
I know.
I would rather us be considered a speed trap than and a place that we're going to pull you over no matter what than if some kid gets killed walking around the curve or, you know, gets hit and killed on the street, then we're going to look really bad.
And that's something, that's the discussion, the very discussion I was having. I mean,
So I would simply, if we need to write more tickets, write more tickets. But I mean, he can write tickets all day, but
won't change anything.
So
it's not going
to
change.
And unfortunately, we don't have the people to be out.
We're slowly getting there.
I could stop cars all day if I didn't have to respond to calls, do the administrative stuff, and all the other things
right
that I have to do. I would love, I mean, if I could just run traffic, that'd be.
No, I know. I know. It's more than just that.
But it's
that,
just, but, you know, it's like we can write tickets and it may help for a little bit.
Well, and the thing about it is what I've noticed at my employment is what we used to do is the first couple weeks of school, we'd like just crossing the road. It'd be a week of warnings. A week of, I mean, just, and it was the cops are buttholes and they're writing us tickets. Well, they weren't. They're writing warnings. But it got out there that the cops were horrible, right? But you know what? People start crossing the road correctly. The second week, it was a mix of tickets and warnings. The third week, it was just straight up tickets if just crossing the road. And you'd set a, but the thing with us, you'd set a couple people out there. So you had people on both sides of the road. So they cross the road, these people collect them over here, or they cross this way and they collect them on this side. You had a couple police officers working it. Where here we have one.
No,
I mean,
I know.
He could do traffic all day long, but then it's taken away from other things. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not arguing with you. I was having this exact same conversation, and
I know it takes more manpower. I mean, more officers on duty.
And we can hopefully here in the next few months have the bodies and be able to get out there and enforce more. Hopefully,
I would be curious to see if we would be allowed to extend the school zone a little bit farther. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So your crack legal department has been researching this using our extensive electronic library that we maintain through our Google system. And the statute says that the school zones are good from 7 to 4. That various applicable jurisdictions get to impose those, including the village. And we define what it's going to be. It doesn't give me any kind of specific feet or anything like that, but there is some language in the statute that says that it's on a school day when school children are present, and so close thereto that a potential hazard exists because of the close proximity of the motorized traffic. So it seems to me that we would have to have some sort of justification as to how we're defining the zone, and we couldn't just make the whole village a zone, for example.
Right.
But we could make that curve a zone because those kids are cutting around the curve.
Now, once we make the zone, we have to put up signage that says you're about to get into a zone, and then we have to put up a sign saying where the zone starts and where the zone ends.
Pretty soon that road would be cheaper just to put a big billboard with all the rules on it right there.
So we could extend the school zone around the curve if we put up two signs?
Contingent.
Well, right now the curve is 15 anyway.
Yeah, so it's less than the school zone.
Can we make the 15 bigger, longer, to get all the way up into the school and start it earlier?
I think the reason you're able to make it a 15 is because of the curve itself. So once you get outside the curve, then you wouldn't have a justification for going to 15. You'd have to go up to 20.
Somebody else had a thought at the same time Vicky did. Was it you? Were you going to say something?
No, I was just saying we've been having this conversation back and forth, and
I would be all for extending the zone.
Well, right now it's 15, so it's lower on that curve.
And right, but I'm
all
talking
we'd
about
have to do is go
entering
from that,
into the curve.
That 15, leave it 20 all the way into the school zone. Which you said you moved that sign anyway, right?
I'm talking about coming down central to the school. I'm not talking about coming, I'm talking about coming around towards.
Going north.
Going north.
Well, as you come around the curve and you're heading south towards Campbell, there's a 30 mile an hour speed limit there.
Right.
That we move from, as you're heading west, on Rocket Ridge.
So once you get around the curve, the speed limit is what?
30. Yes. When you, as you're heading north, I don't think there's a speed limit sign until you get to that right-hand curve that says 15. And once you make that curve, there's not, I think there is a 30 mile an hour that's over on Power Pole. And then right after that, you get into the school zone, right past Allison.
How many speed limit signs do you think we have in town? Just
I have no idea.
Just rough estimate.
I have no idea.
How much is a speed limit sign?
I don't know.
$50?
$50, $75. I don't know. I'm not just pulling a number out of the air.
No, that's fine.
So we could potentially extend the school zone to Campbell, or we could extend it to Allison, since that's where kids are crossing.
But again, we don't have, if you do that, we still don't have a crossing zone, because we don't really, there's no sidewalk.
Less than that.
That was what we were talking about with the sidewalk grant, is how we were going to get kids from there over to the school.
And the big thing with that is we're going to put a sidewalk in.
So even if we didn't put, even if we don't put a sidewalk there, we can't put up a yellow sign with kids on the corner of Central and Allison to make that a school zone?
I don't, Mark can answer that better, but I don't think so, since it's not a park or anything right there. I don't.
Yeah, park or school is correct. That's what triggers 20 miles an hour.
I like it.
Even though it's really close to the school?
No, I don't think we can do, we could not reduce the speed limit 15 miles an hour on Central and Allison. I think that's way too far out of the zone. I would like to lower our speed limit in town to 25 miles an hour all across town, but that's why we're doing the speed study and stuff like that. That would help out immensely, because I think 30 to 35 is too fast on our roads in town. Especially cruising 35 miles an hour up and down Allison. I think that's way too fast. But speed limit's 30, because that's what it's got to be until we get through the speed study, and or we just go with the ordinance that's already on the books, because I'm sure they already did one way back then. So.
Very confident it was a very detailed one.
So we just switched that ordinance and we figure out how... and just replace signs and put a couple signs up in our community. It's 25 miles an hour. I think one board member brought up taking over the 40 or Route 45 corridor, taking over that, and taking over maintenance of that, and then we can put our own stoplight in. We'll get the MFTs for that too.
Who's that?
Me. So that wasn't me.
Make it a toll road for.
Make it a toll road. There you go.
For non-Tolona residents.
I think Matt's budget's hard to keep now.
I know, right?
45.
Speed bumps.
So, but no, I think this is a continued discussion with the speed limit. Again,
it's just, it was a concern by residents because kids are
going over that road now. No, and it's been a concern for the last couple years. That's why we looked at that sidewalk thing, and to get the kids off of Rocket Road. And if we could bring a sidewalk in the backside of Allison that would come into the backside of the high school, and that was part of that sidewalk grant,
yeah,
it would take it into there and bring a sidewalk all the way up to the backside of the high school in between the two buildings. We just have their cross-country track that we're gonna have to go across. So about a third of the sidewalks we were looking at were gonna be on school property. So do that grant. Well, not a third, probably a quarter. Not even that.
Small portion.
Small portion of it.
We talked with the school too. They would be eligible to sign up for that grant as well.
True.
So.
Or just, the other thought was for them to sign on with us with the grant. So.
Okay.
But, and that's something to look at for next year too. I know it doesn't fix the problem right now. But getting them off of Rocket Road and getting them a dedicated path going that way, and then that we could extend our school zone with no problem at all.
Is there a large amount of foot traffic going along Rocket Road?
Yes.
Is there a certain time of day this is going on?
Rocket Road or Central?
Central's got a ton.
Well, what do you consider Rocket Road? Because
Rocket Road.
800.
800? Okay.
We're east and west.
So it's from crossing on, going from Campbell across Central,
yeah,
in between Melissa and Mayberry Court.
I was gonna say yes, there. I say I only see.
Nobody's going down Rocket.
Two
officially
down
Rocket Road.
Okay.
They're cutting through these residences' yards.
Right.
And thankfully, these residents don't have fences, because if they did, then we would have a lot more traffic going on Rocket Road, and that would become a bigger issue.
At least from what I've seen, most people know that the kids cross there. And most, not all the time, sometimes there's some close calls. But whether you have a crosswalk or lights or anything else,
yeah,
you know, that still depends. Other than a cross guard or somebody stopping traffic to let the kids cross. But, I mean, it still depends on the drivers to watch out for the kids and to stop. And if somebody's crossing the road, they're supposed to stop anyway and let them cross the road, as long as they don't jump out in front of them.
Yeah.
But there is, I mean, if something can be done, that would be a good place to have something done, because there's a lot of kids crossing right there.
Well, and do you want to put more stop signs in?
Would you put a stop sign at the corner of Central and Campbell?
You could. I mean, you could put stop signs all up and down.
Mark, do you have to do a study for stop signs also?
No.
No. You don't do a study for traffic unless you're willing to go below the standard, which is 30 miles an hour.
Because you could put stop signs all down Central.
Yeah, you could have them in every street corner.
And then make them, I mean, that would slow them down.
Yeah, and then I think you're going to have an abundance of crashes right there at the corner when you have people stopped at the stop sign. They come around that corner and,
oh yeah,
kaboom.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right answer.
That was the thing about the traffic study, about not putting a stoplight in at Walnut. That's what DOT kept saying. Well, you're going to have a bunch of rear-end crashes when people come into town at, you know, 55 miles an hour, and all of a sudden there's a stoplight. Like, well, then reduce the speed. So. All right. Anything else for us, Justin?
I can go all night. No, I mean, basically, I've been helping the high school the last few days on their drills, their reunification drills. Unfortunately, with the COVID, instead of everybody going at once, it's small groups here and there, so it took longer, but that was finished today. Starting tomorrow, I've got a new chief's orientation online training with the training standard board. I think it's a total of 32 hours, but it's in 2-hour blocks. So it's kind of a 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, and that's over the course of 8 weeks, which is less than ideal, but just look, I forwarded the email that I got today with the showing the program and what it's going to talk about, and it looks like it should be a good class, helpful class. Speech study is moving along. I've got John working on it now, so he's able to get different times of the day, so we can get, instead of only between 8 and 4, we can get some evening time speeds in there. And also, just having two people working on it, we'll have a more numbers for the study to hopefully get a better idea of how fast people are driving. Other than that, that's about all I've got.
How far along is the other
Chrissy?
Chrissy.
Getting close. I think it's just a, well, it's time consuming thing. I think the 40-hour class is, that's maybe under ideal circumstances, but I think she was getting close to getting that done. She's got some other training I sent her way. She was in Chicago working this week, and then she was going to be back next week to hopefully we can hammer out a few things and get closer to getting her on the street to where she can start covering some shifts or parts of shifts. Getting closer, hopefully.
Did we have one other?
We did. We're trying to get one to the academy, but the problem is...
Wasn't there another person that was interested in coming?
There is. He hasn't put an application in yet.
You can hire people who don't apply, right?
I know. It's difficult.
Yep.
Anything else?
Not that I can think of, unless anybody has any questions.
I don't think so. Bills?
Thanks, sir.
You guys got them all signed?
Yep.
Any questions on the bills?
Why are there so many bills?
I know, right? I need a motion to pay bills.
Vicki, you want a motion to pay bills?
I'll make a motion to pay bills as presented.
Second.
You got a second? Roll call.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Sewer credits or extensions? I didn't see any in there. Now, did you guys all look at the approval for the payment proposal for 208? It was on a memo.
There was a lot on that memo.
It was a lot on that from memo.
On the demo.
Well, I wanted you to have all the info.
That's
you gave us two memos in one memo, though.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff on there. Does anybody have a problem with what's been outlined in that memo? I can't find it. I'm just sitting right here.
Was there a train?
The furnace was running.
Oh, okay.
I think that was the water fountain.
Or the water fountain. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Where?
That was intense.
Is this the one where we had a tenant and...
Had a tenant, the water bill was supposed to be switched over to the tenant, it didn't get done.
Right, and they moved.
And then they put the new meter in and then the new meter started charging them. Right? That's like kind of like the shortened version of it, the very, very shortened version
of
it. Yeah,
they called in to get their service turned on, it never got activated in the old system, so... We have in the old system, there was no reports we could generate or anything like that telling us that, hey, this account is using water, but it's inactive. So when we switched over to the new system is when we found out that they had been using water, but we're still on inactive status because the account never got activated in the water billing system when they moved in.
So that was our fault? But they were still getting water.
They're still using it.
And using it.
The village still paid for the water, so the...
And they still use something they expected to get billed for, but didn't get billed for.
Exactly.
And they agreed to the payment arrangement and everything that I had outlined. And they agreed to it, and they were paying.
Do you have a signed copy of said agreement?
No, because they never brought it in. It was one of those, well, I'm working in, but I'll bring it in tomorrow. And the next time we talked to him, oh, well, I've still got to get that to you.
Do you have any email correspondence with them?
I do. That was, I think it was in there.
It's in there.
Saying that...
There's notes on there.
And all the paperwork that I scanned.
Is that as a separate file?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it's not.
Near the bottom, maybe?
I mean, I guess
it's... It's named 208 West Strong Street issue.
Thank you.
I mean, you're still the landlord. So there's a different part of it. Okay.
The nice thing about after this, the new meter system's in, so we shouldn't have these problems anymore because it'll tell us if there's water being used.
But didn't you say when they moved over to the new meter, they were still getting water, but it was not activated?
Mm-hmm. Because in the actual billing system, we have active and inactive status.
Mm-hmm.
When someone else was doing the billing, whenever he would final somebody out, he would put them on inactive status until we did the monthly billing and then transferred over to active status. But that didn't get changed over. And the old meter system, there was no way to know if that was happening. But this new system, we can go through and see where somebody has usage, but there's no account number.
So under the new system, it'll be
the meter reports no matter what.
Right.
And then
yeah.
You have to try and figure out, okay, who is this
yes.
supposed to be?
Yeah.
How long until we caught that one?
It wasn't very long after we switched the meter.
Okay.
So they didn't pay a water bill for
27 months.
And they didn't think that was odd that they never got a water bill?
Yeah, when we discovered it,
unless they thought it was, go ahead.
Their thing was that they said, well, we just thought the landlord was paying it, even though the landlord had told him it was their responsibility, and therefore they called in and set up service. So
did they set up service like 26 months prior, and
mm-hmm.
they just didn't get set up?
It their account was set up, it just wasn't activated.
So they knew they had to pay the water bill. So there's no ins or buts about it. They knew they had to pay it. It just didn't get activated into their name. It's a frustrating one. So, ideas of what to do moving on this one?
So his proposal is that he
doesn't pay it.
He does not pay the 904.40. Or the final bill?
He will pay the final bill. He'll pay anything that they haven't paid since May 1 when we discovered the issue. He'll pay their final bill and anything there, but he doesn't pay the past due balance since it was our fault it didn't get activated and he knew nothing about it because he had already discussed with them they were responsible.
So
at the end of the day, I'm okay with the proposal. You have Randy at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like an unfortunate series of events that involves a staff member that isn't with us anymore.
Right.
And that's really hard to reconcile in a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So but I'm okay with what you propose.
So the 904 we can add on to that bill collection thing because mm-hmm. they owe that. So we'll just add that onto there. So eventually, that will collect from them, the bill collectors we have. It'll collect from the people
the
who used
collections.
It. We can send it to the collection people that we're using. So they get a tax return. It'll come out of there.
So Vicki, are you saying that you are okay with writing off the in arrears balance that is listed in the payment agreement, like totally writing that off? Or are you suggesting that we not charge that landlord, but still attempt to collect that money from the tenant?
I am suggesting it's likely that it's going to be the former, but I'm suggesting we attempt the latter before we try to garnish any tax returns. I think we need to maybe make a few more effort. And I glanced over, so maybe we've exhausted every possibility, but I think I read that it sounds like we might have one more number for him that maybe we ought to try to see what we can do.
They agreed to pay the past due, and they were making a payment plan. They just didn't bring it in. So they know that they're liable for the $900.
Yeah,
I'm fine not putting the onus on the landlord because that's technically on us. They called in to switch it over. They should have been switched over to them back 20-plus months ago. So that...
And we do have in writing that they agree to continue to pay the past balance. It's
yeah.
in the work
yeah.
request.
It's right there. I can't
yeah.
see her thing. So I say, you know, go ahead and do it, but turn it over to the collections thing too. And we'll write it off for the landlord because he did what he was supposed to,
do have it in writing that they agreed to pay it.
Page 5 of 6 of,
okay.
At the very... Well, bottom of that.
I think that's good. That helps.
And then Nate said he'd pay from the May bill, he said?
May 1 on.
And then the final bill when that gets calculated. So, but he shouldn't be responsible for the 904. And I don't think we should write it off because they agreed to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
No,
so
we got it.
If we have something in writing, they agreed to pay for it, then I'm with you 100% there.
So
I just missed that part.
So I think that's where we should. That's a suggestion I make. Do we need a move on that? I need a motion on that.
I move to accept the suggested payment proposal for the landlord of 208 West Strong Street, as well as continuing to pursue collection of the in arrears balance from the former tenant who has promised in writing to pay.
904.40.
Second.
A second.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
All right, regular session minutes, October 6, 2020. That's an easy one.
Are we only there?
We're only there. That's
I'm gonna make a motion to approve those minutes.
All right.
Second.
All in favor? Anybody opposed? Executive session minutes, October 6, 2020, on your holy paper.
Motion to approve executive session minutes from October 6, 2020.
Second.
Roll call.
Buffo?
Abstain.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Okay, sign it the next day. I'm going to go back in the office on the white piece of paper. I think those are a binder. All right. Discussion on approval of the holiday for November 3rd. There was a whole bunch of information in the board packet about that.
Yes.
Do you want to approve their day off or not?
You mean, do we want to give them a day off or not? I don't see anything in there that's asking us to give them a day off.
Does it? It's the lawsuit's continuing, isn't it?
No.
So they settled it.
The judge has ruled in favor of IML. We don't have to close.
So, I think, so we don't have to do it. So, table this motion? We have to vote on it.
There's no board meeting between now and that date,
but if you just
because
let it
that
go away,
is the next board meeting.
If you don't move on it, it just goes away, and nobody has to vote on it.
So what you're asking us is, do we want to give our employees the day off to go vote?
When we have early voting here in town, and they can all go during work hours.
When we, in our employee manual, do we give employees time off to vote?
I have no problem with any of our employees going here in town and voting on their work time. Because we have a polling place right there at the library.
Although, according to our ethics training at work, it could be an ethics violation to use work time for political activities, including voting.
But
actually, no, because
no,
we,
you can do.
Yeah, they give you
now we get the
paid
day off.
Time off.
They give you, what, an hour or 2 hours to go
yeah,
vote.
So
now we get the whole day off to vote, which I already voted, so.
That was a comment someone made in the Facebook feed concerning the public comment that it, they felt it was a little late, seeing as though early voting has already opened.
Well, it's like we have early voting right here in town, too, at the library, so there's no line most of the time.
Are you tracking your ballot?
No, I know you could.
Apparently you can on the... Well, that's
All right, so any thoughts on this? If not, I'm just going to go buy it and go to the next thing.
All right. Any thoughts on this?
Hold on.
I'm letting you know.
I think it's kind of silly.
I just want to make sure there's nothing in this.
All right, well, you're looking at that.
Vacation, personal day, training.
Any more thought about the charging a recycling fee? Or is this kind of a dead item?
I don't know how you're going to track it.
I don't either. I mean, just honest. People being honest.
I'm sure Brandy needs to want to do that.
Yeah, just the speed limit. Exactly. Thanks a lot.
I say if we just catch somebody, we at least let them know.
There's nothing in the manual that says
that we give our employees.
We give our employees, but I think it's just the law, I would think.
It's not a law.
It's not a law?
No.
All right, so
it can be a Village of Tolono, you know, policy.
Not adding or changing anything to that policy.
So any discussion on the town recycling?
I think if people want to pay for it, let pay
but
for it.
But what do we charge them? to for it. It'd be an honesty thing. If they get caught recycling without having the permit,
well, here's
then they
the
get
thing.
A $200 ticket.
If people are paying for recycling, it needs to be available to them. It needs to... You're talking about outside people or...
I'm talking about...
Like, in general.
If people in Pisodum want to come recycle here, they... some people in... Well, it's simple as this. If they get caught recycling without it...
But if
I
they're
mean,
paying and they drive up here and it's full...
Right. But it's the same thing as our residents are paying for it too. They're through their tax dollars in this village, they're paying for that recycling.
But it's not right if... somebody from Pisodum or wherever comes and fills it up,
right?
And then our residents show up and it's full because of out of town.
The individual who asks about it is not going to fill it up.
I mean, I'm just talking so,
in general.
Yeah,
they just want to do their part for the environment. And it was, they actually brought it up and they said they'd be willing to pay a fee, but and the thing is, if they got caught not paying the fee, then you get a $200 fine, or you could pay the $5 a month fee or whatever it would be. So, and I don't think you're going to have that many people actually put in to do it. You're going to have a handful of people. And like today, there was tons of room in recycling today. Most days there is room in the site. It's just the weekends where we get slammed.
If we did charge, I would probably $10 or $15. I don't think we need any. $15 at the most.
Yeah.
A month.
Yeah.
Because I think it cost us. It probably cost the town people $1 a month is what it's costing per household. That's a rough estimate. It's about $1 out. Yes.
You need lots of miscellaneous statistics to get you confused more.
Yes.
My recollection,
you need to have a recycling study.
My recollection is that in Gibson City, which is a volunteer program, the city pays half and the users donate or pay half. And the cost per user on that system is $80 a year. So they charge $40 for the pass, and the city covers $40. So I'm just saying, I don't know if our cost works out to be $80 a user, but that's maybe not far off.
How do they identify those who have paid that fee?
It's closed all the time, and then it's open certain hours on the weekends, and it's manned by volunteers, and they check your pass before you can dump your stuff.
Oh, wow.
So it's completely different than what we do, but it's kind of an indicator what your cost is, more or less.
You think a lock and deed with Bob?
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
My
exactly. You're completely correct.
My only thoughts on this is... if we open it up saying out-of-town people are able to dump here if they pay this fee, then just like the people with golf carts out of town and side-by-sides out of town, they're going to come into town bringing their golf carts or ATVs, driving around, and not come in and get the permit. And so
no,
I just think we're going
to
open it up and say, you can use our recycling if you pay for it, so then we're going to have all these people from out of town using it, but not paying for it.
There's a guy with a kid on a four-wheeler that he follows his kid on his four-wheeler. He's in a side-by-side.
It's always after. They seem to know when nobody's on duty.
But they're parked at, I mean, they literally pull right up to Casey's. They don't have the slow-moving vehicle thing on there, nor do they have a
people can't call and
Sheriff's
Department will respond.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much for the ordinance issue, but
that's why I need somebody writing ordinances.
Oh my god. All right. So
I would say from Brandy's comment then, we do not allow.
Okay, do not allow. Anybody else? Thoughts? All right, well, the other one I thought I'd have more information on. There's some information in your board packet. Life safety inspections. We had a fire call at an apartment complex here in town. When the fire department got there, they couldn't get up the back stairs. They're full of stuff. The fire extinguishers hadn't been inspected in years. They were expired, weren't usable. There is a law now out that came about this year where for fire inspections are required for different things. I was hoping to have one of the fire members come here and kind of explain this a little bit better. The Savoy Fire Safety Inspector came down and we met with him for lunch. And he kind of told us what Savoy does on this. We're not responsible for it. The fire district would be responsible the way the law is written. And they would have to do the inspections here in town and create their thing. As we all know, the fire district doesn't have the money.
We don't want that responsibility.
It goes back. No, it will be a responsibility.
Okay.
What I'm proposing, just to think about, because we don't have the information, they were going to discuss at their last meeting with some kind of MOU like we do with ESTA, where we give them a couple $1,000 a year to help offset their cost for this. They do the safety inspections.
I'm going to vote no.
Well, that's fine. That was the proposal.
I mean, this is stuff that they've known for
Law just literally passed. This law passed a couple months ago. And they found out about it through the Savoy Fire Safety Inspector. So, and then when they went to the fire, if somebody burns up in a fire in town because none of the safety equipment was checked or...
So this was at an apartment building?
Yeah, apartment complex. Mm-hmm. One of our bigger ones.
Whoever owns that apartment complex, are they not responsible for having that checked?
What's the enforcement on it?
But as a...
You would think the state fire marshal, they should have to have something with the state fire
but
marshal.
If you have residents living, if you are a landlord or whatever, and you own an apartment complex, I mean, shouldn't they be inspected?
It just enhances your liability as a property owner. Insurance companies spot check places they're insuring, but that's not the same as an annual inspection or every 5-year inspection.
Yeah. So eventually when they kind of get everything together and their plan together, we'll let them present at the board what the thing is, but it's not open for a vote yet. But it's always open for discussion. But that's something that's coming down the pipe.
But the only reason why this came to was because we had a fire in an apartment complex.
Yeah. And luckily it was just a...
And the fire department could not get...
They got in, but it was... The stairwells were blocked. There was stuff stored on back stairwells. There was... The fire extinguishers were expired. There was a bunch of things around it, which... made them start looking into this, and they found this law that had been passed in
November.
Was it November?
I mean, isn't that something that the...
It was like really recent.
Tickets or fines for?
It's 2020 when it was passed, right?
I don't know.
Applicability of the state adopted life safety code, date November 13, 2019.
Okay, so last year.
To all local municipal and government authorities.
So it's something to think about and to mull around, and I want to bring the fire department here to give us a presentation when they get the grasp of what their requirements are.
I would think the fire department would have reached out to that owner of the apartment complex.
They did. They have done all this. Yeah,
okay.
And we've had an issue with one of our businesses in town too, which I've worked with the fire department on, because one of the businesses had their fire exits all covered up and stuff stored in front of them and the same kind of thing. And the business took care of it, but it took some discussion with them and stuff.
Why?
It's just...
Why should that ever be a discussion?
Forrest Gump said it best.
Nothing. People don't care.
Exactly. Or they don't think about it.
And where's OSHA?
Exactly. They came and visited us. I guess we should have brought this up because you could have left her earlier. It's my understanding we can go ahead and do the inspections on that. Can we get a hold of the same person we got a hold last time to come do the inspections? To demo those two houses.
Probably.
Because we have some, I think there's one more court hearing before we can just, we can't go knock them down tomorrow.
There's a storm out there, they might be knocked down.
I know, right?
That'd be nice.
We can't, but we can get the inspection done on them and put it out for bid.
We have to bid that?
Yeah.
Do we have access to those or not yet?
According to his paper, we have access to them. The only thing
we're
waiting on.
Because we already have judgment on.
Yeah. The only thing that's holding it up is one of the people who owns one of the back taxes. Is trying to get a judgment of...
But it's not holding it up.
Sale by error or something. So he didn't want us to demo them yet until that got done. But the order's already done.
So we just need the asbestos inspection.
We need the asbestos and then put it out for bid to get the two houses demoed. And then we'll put a lien on the properties.
So am I understanding you to say that one of the people that has purchased the taxes is trying to...
It's complicated.
Get something that says that they actually bought the house?
No.
That they bought it in error so that they don't get the deed.
So they're trying to get rid of it. Trying to get rid of their tax liability. Right? Yeah.
They would get refunded for what they paid in taxes and then they wouldn't claim the deed.
So.
Because they don't want their money. Okay. Thank you.
So. All right. And I think we're done. Anything else?
Hold on.
Oh. Yes.
Mark.
Oh, wait. Matt's got something.
Are you going to approve the sidewalk butt jacking? Or?
You're going to wait on your other quote. Isn't that what you told us to do?
If you wanted to go ahead and get the butt jacking done, then we can adjust the sidewalk replacement after that so long that it fits. If we have
the butt jacking.
The budget.
That makes sense to approve that jack slab.
Motion to approve the.
But for all of them or the most?
$13,250. I would do all of the ones. So
yeah,
once
they're
in town,
they're more of
get
a
all done.
Trip hazard than
yeah.
The ones that need replaced,
okay.
Actually.
All right.
$13,250.
Motion to approve the quote of $13,250 for jack a slab construction for all of the addresses listed for the mud jacking quote.
Outstanding. I need a second.
A second.
Okay.
Buffo?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
All right, sorry for cutting you off.
Oh, that's all right. Mark, in this letter from the state fire marshal, help me understand this portion that is for us non-home rule municipalities.
What's the state statutory citation?
There is none. Sorry. 425 ILCS 25/9.
Okay, go ahead.
That is, okay.
Put it on the TV.
That's the Fire Investigation Act.
Okay.
With fire safety inspections. So, unlike home rule municipalities, non-home rule municipalities are mandated to enforce fire prevention and life safety standards
that are equal to or greater than the OSFM, Office of the State Fire Marshal, adopted life safety code. Therefore, prior to January 1, 2020, non-home rule municipalities that have not adopted fire prevention and safety, life safety standards that are equal or greater than the 2000 edition are required to use the NFPA 101 Life Safety Code 2000 edition. After January 1, non-home rule municipalities that have not adopted fire prevention and life safety standards that are equal or greater, blah, 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 are required to use the 2015 edition of the NFPA 101 Life Safety Code. Additionally, once the new administrative rules become effective, there will be newly established methods for non-home rule municipalities to demonstrate equivalency with the OSFM adopted life safety code. So, long and short of it, my question is this. They are specifically saying it's the municipality's job to adopt these. Is it the municipality's job or the fire protection district's job?
I think that it allows the municipality, this is from my recollection, but I'm scanning the statute when we're talking. My recollection is that the...
it's a larger version, I think.
Is that...
Oh, you printed in the letter.
We can approve our own codes. But if we don't do it, then the backstop is that these other codes automatically apply. Your real question is, does the fact that we now have those as our codes, does that mandate us to have some sort of inspection program as a village? And my answer is, I don't think so. But those, that backstop code still applies to our area. But if you want to, you can. An idea, and I don't know how I see how it would work, is, but an idea that I did have was what you might do is require units of more than four units to provide you with a certificate of compliance issued by then somebody who's got some sort of certification, who's not the owner, to certify that they stop by, check the place out, and maybe they provide that to you every 2 years or something, you know, something like that that's not going to shift a bunch of costs to you, leaves a little bit of control in the property owner, and still kind of gets some inspection done. And you can pick whatever the threshold is. If you want to make it more than 12 units or something like that, you can do that too. We have rental property, and I represent a lot of property owners that have it. I would say that insurance companies for property owners that have 12 units or more are going to probably sample 10% of the properties in a five-year period. So they do check on them, but they don't check on them every year. They do spot check, and they will also do schedule check. And what they do is they just walk around the grounds. They may or may not go in any of the units. They'll walk through the hallways, and then they're just checking out to see if there are a bunch of grills where they're not supposed to be. Check to see if the emergency lights work. Some pretty basic, obvious stuff, but they check it, and then they also walk around and see if the sidewalks are broken, if the roof looks like it's falling apart, if there are branches that are too close. That's a minority of the units that will get that kind of review. So that's based on my experience. So your choice is you could get in the inspection business if you want. You could define where you get in the inspection business. You could have a licensing component where it says, if you want to be a big apartment building, you have to have a license. And as a condition of getting a license, you got to provide us with proof that you are in compliance with the law. You know, my worry is that at our size community, any kind of significant program has a lot of dollars associated to it, and you may not, as a community, have a comfort level with going that direction. And so that's what you get elected to decide. So I don't know.
Would there anything from the fire department stop the fire department from charging people to do the inspection? So if we require it, say in our code, you're required to bring this inspectious thing to us, you have to go to the fire department to get it done. Fire department charges $100 to go to get the inspection. So that offsets their cost of, because they're sending a couple people to get certified to do these. They're going to send them to the schools to get certified and keep their certifications up. So they have an expense. So could they charge for these inspections?
Yeah, the fire district has a limited amount of authority to pass ordinances, but you could pass an ordinance that requires folks to get an inspection from the fire department. I think you have the authority to do that if you wanted to.
Okay, but did they, would they have the authority to charge
Champagne's
for it?
Champagne's program, when they first put it in, was to get every property inspected within the first 5 years. I think they got it done in the first 6 or 7 years, and then they try to have them on a cycle of every 10 years. I don't know how successful they've been on that. But what I would say is that they got a lot of marginal properties that may not look nicer, but they're safer after their first round, and then the owners tend to be more aware of what they're trying to keep up with. So, I mean, I've been pretty conscientious, and when I've had been spot checked by our insurance company, they've never found anything. They found some little branches one time, but you know, all our stuff works. All our hallways are clear. But I'm paranoid, and not all property owners are.
Cool. Answer your question.
Yeah.
Or give you more questions. And this is kind of why this is on here too, is just figuring out a way to get it done, because I want everybody safe. All right. I don't have any sales things, no sales. Anything else?
Yes. I spoke with the owner of Burrito King, the food truck.
I'm glad you're going to see.
In town. And he and I had a discussion about the whole property tax or tax issue.
Sales tax.
And because they don't own property in town, they can't pay property taxes. But all of the sales that they create in town, they are very much willing and are actually required to pay the sales tax to our community. And he is very willing to do that. He told me how he takes care of that. And he would actually appreciate it if we would adjust the permit to state the requirement for him to pay sales tax to our community. He said he pays the other communities quarterly. I'm fine with quarterly.
Oh, yeah.
But he said every night we print out our sales for the night in that community. He said I give all that stuff to my accountant. He writes a check, sends it off. So they have zero problem paying sales tax to our community. We found out exactly what the tax rate would be. He said, I'm fine with it. Just let me know who I need to send the checks to. So they are on board with providing the tax revenue that they are by law required to provide to this community. So I will get you his information. I might have it on me right now, but I'll make sure you get it.
Okay. I just have one question.
Sure.
We have a couple of people that live on Melissa Court and Mabry Court that they're wanting to know who to ask or contact to put a street light in the actual court instead of on the street. Because if there is one on the corner, but once you go down around, there's no street lights on the actual court. Everybody does have a post light, but it is still very dark, and they didn't know who we would ask for that.
Ameren will install those if you pay for them.
But would Kinderwood pay for that, or would that be?
I would think they probably would, since there's no utility poles in that area. That's how most of the village lights are. They're on a utility pole because they get their power from overhead.
That's a good point.
There would have to be an underground line brought to it from another light or whatever, and a light installed.
But we already have a light in the corner of Allison and on the corners, but they want one in the actual court.
Yeah, you'd have to go from that light. You'd have to run an underground line and set a pole.
So you're saying there's none in the Mayberry Court circle?
Right. There's none on the end of Mayberry Court, and there's none on Melissa Court.
Of course we have a Mayberry Court.
It's Mayberry.
Yeah, that would be a little costly, and you're cutting through everybody's yards. Because if you go from, because there's a light pole, isn't there a light pole at Allison and Central?
Yes.
So they would have to, probably, that'd probably be the closest one to get to that court. And you're going to have to go through one, two, possibly 3 yards to get there.
You could call Ameren and they might set one for you. Yeah. They might come out of a pod that's closer by. They'd have to do all that work.
But that we would have to pay for that, right?
Well, yeah. I've heard that the payment being sent to the resident is based on which direction the light falls.
If the light faces inside to the property, those are residential, or the park district pays those. And there's a pole fee and the light fee. Our church has one. If it's over facing out towards the road, it's a village light. I had to go through it with Ameren one time. Useful information.
So the question is, who's going to let you put that in front of their house in that court?
I mean, the residents are asking for it, so that's what
I know.
I just didn't know who's going to pay for it, or who would have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Or where we would go to ask about that. Would that be...
So anything in the street in that subdivision is ours. So drains and stuff like that. So if they wanted to put a light up there, if it was already up there, we would pay for it, the monthly fees.
Yeah, between the curb and the block, that would be our right. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so it would be right in our area where all the other ones are.
But
it wouldn't be in somebody's front yard. It would be in the commons.
Where's their commons on Mabry?
Right in front of this house right here.
So you're wanting it right in the middle of the circle?
Yeah.
So then they're going to have to go to the, well, I guess I probably could bore it underneath.
So you're wanting it set in the concrete or right in the center?
No, not in the center of the road.
So where's their commons area? I see houses all around there.
Between the road and the driveway, I guess. The right of way? Yeah, okay. The right of way. Sorry.
So it'd be in front of someone's house.
Yeah. Just like it is in mine.
We can go next to the fiber box.
We can get a cost estimate on it, but that's going to be pricey if the village has to pay for it. Like, really pricey. It makes it easy when we have tip poles.
Yeah.
But it's prettier when there's no poles.
Yeah.
So there's no poles, so it makes it really expensive.
Right. No, I know.
So, well, I mean, we can check. Oh, go ahead.
Especially if you're trying to match the existing light structures you've got out there.
I think they would be happy with just a light. Because it is very dark. I mean, even when we left a meeting last night and we walked outside and everybody had their post lights on, but I mean, you could still, it was very dark.
Very dark.
Very dark.
So, and I think that was probably designed for everybody to have post lights, not a pole light in there.
Yeah. So I mean, we have four on my street. And they have, it's just something that was brought up.
Someone can call him and look at maybe getting a price.
See where the house with the greenest grass in the world is.
All right, anything else while we're here? Ryan?
Did we give Matt an answer on the full time?
No, we did not.
You could find that.
We did, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. You're going to hate this. Motion to adjourn to executive session for the limited purposes of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation of one or more village employees. Courtesy of 5 ILCS 122C1.
I'll second.
Buffa?
Yes.
Carrie?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's got to be discussed. It's got to be.